And I want to welcome you to I Want to Know More for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 18. We're going back to 2 Samuel 18, and we're going to go to verse number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. We're going to begin reading at verse number 6 again. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. All right. We're going to stop there for just a moment. We'll pick back up at verse number 9 here in just a moment. But let's talk about the location of this battle and some of the history of the location of this battle. First off, this is referred to as the Wood of Ephraim. Now, students of the Bible know that Ephraim and the territory of Ephraim was on the west side of the Jordan River. And so the west side of the Jordan River, the territory of Ephraim, Mount Ephraim, and that whole area, there was a bit of a controversy over half of the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben wanting to stay in Gilead on the east side of the Jordan River. There was a bit of controversy about that. And so the men of those tribes went and helped the people that settled on the west side of Jordan, helped them and fought battles and helped them win the battles before they got to go and settle their territory on the east side of the Jordan in the land of Gilead and of Bashan and north of the territory of the tribe of, or not tribe, but country of Ammon. And so David is in Mahanaim, okay? Let's make that clear. Mahanaim is in Gilead. That is where David fled to, and that is north of the territory of the nation of Ammon. That's where he fled. The Wood of Ephraim is on the east side of Jordan. So how did he get the name the Wood of Ephraim? Well, there's several scriptures that point to it, some scriptures in Joshua 16 and 17, as well as a few other scriptures earlier than that. There were some interesting things happened, and apparently, the tribe of Ephraim went and helped Manasseh settle this area. And so Ephraim had a bit of a toehold still on the east side of the Jordan River. But then under the judge Jephthah, who was of Gilead, he was of the tribe of Manasseh, and they defeated their enemy. And the Ephraimites said, "How dare you go out without calling us?" Why would they even say that if it's over in Gilead? Why would they say that? And in fact, Jephthah and his men said, "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute." And so it's almost like the tribe of Ephraim thought that they had some sort of rule over the other tribes. The fact that Joshua was of Ephraim, I'm sure, was part of that. But they seemed to be, a little bossy. But if they actually laid claim to this forest in Gilead, and it was right across from the passages of the Jordan, the way that they went over, and that's where Jephthah met them, he and his men, and they caused the Ephraimites to say a word, Shibboleth, that Ephraimites had difficulty saying, and they weren't able to pronounce it, is the words the Bible use. That's the words the Bible uses. They could not frame to pronounce it. It was not in their accent. Their accent would not allow them to say that sound, Shibboleth. And so there were thousands upon thousands of Ephraimites slain that day as they tried to cross back over. They were trying to force their will upon Gilead. They were trying to be on both sides of the Jordan at the same time. Now, yes, the tribe of Manasseh split into two. And East Manasseh was across the river in the eastern side in Gilead. And then Main Manasseh, or West Manasseh, was in the mainland. And Manasseh had by far the largest amount of territory of the tribes other than Judah. Judah had far and away the most territory. And Manasseh was next. And Ephraim was just more than a little jealous. More than a little jealous. And so Ephraim was trying to rule over their brethren of the tribe of Manasseh. It's a rivalry between those. And so the wood of Ephraim is very likely this territory that was contested between Ephraim and Manasseh. And it was perhaps where all these Ephraimites were destroyed by Jephthah as they went across. Anyway, it was a legendary place. The writer of Samuel uses the word wood of Ephraim, and with the idea that everybody would know where that is, where everybody would know. And then he says in this writing, the statement is made that the wood devoured more people than the fighting did. It was a treacherous place, apparently. And they were going in, and there was thickets, and it was bad. It was really, really bad. All right, verse number 9. We get down to the meat of this passage. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. His head took hold. Okay. Now, wait a minute. What? What? What's going on here? Well, one of the features of Absalom was his head of hair, right? His hair. It was legendary, the amount of hair he had. He had long hair, very long hair, apparently. Very thick and woolly, even. And he's riding around. He's very proud of his hair. It's flouncing around as he's riding the mule. He's not a man of war, remember? He's not. His daddy, David, is. Absalom is not a man of war. And so Absalom is going himself. You know, that was what Hushai had kind of counted on. Says, you go lead it yourself. You go lead the battle yourself. You know. And that played into the vanity of Absalom. And so Absalom's riding along, and he is proud and riding, and his hair's a flowing around. And here goes the mule, and they ride underneath this oak, and his hair gets caught in the boughs of the tree. And the mule runs out from under him. And now he's held up by his own hair. And it may be that he can just barely touch the ground. I don't know. But he's hung there. Now, did he not have a sword? Could he not have cut himself down? I don't know. He was all tangled up, and maybe he was trying. Maybe he was cutting on his hair and trying, but his own vanity lifted him up. He was lifted up in his own sight in vanity, and in death he was going to be lifted up in vanity, helpless underneath the burden of his own vanity. What an amazing thing. I mean, goodness, that's just, well, it's legendary, you might even say. Absalom here hung by the hair of his own head, although the word hair doesn't exist here. It says, and his head caught hold of the oak. and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Verse number 10, and a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have set thyself against me. This man knows what's up. And he's right. Joab would have double-crossed him in a heartbeat. He would have. That's the type of man Joab was. And Joab was a go-getter, but Joab did not play fair. No, sir. He did not play fair. And, you know, he was one of those, it's better to ask forgiveness than it is permission. Better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. Because it's difficult to undo things. Now, there's things that you can't do that with. There's things you can't do that with. There's things that if you go and build something and you didn't have the proper permits and the proper authority to do it, they make you unconstruct it before issuing you a permit to build it right back. They can make you do that. And but here, Joab says, why didn't you just kill him? I'd have given you 10 shekels and a girdle. And the man said, I don't care if you gave me 1,000 shekels. You heard what the king said. And the king, he knows everything. So what does Joab say? Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. He says, I ain't got time for this. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. 3 darts. He, a little smaller than a spear, a javelin. That's the type of thing that Saul threw at David. And these 3 darts would be the way that Absalom would die. And that's 3 of them. 3 of them. Why 3? It's a little harder to trace or to prove that just one person did it. Verse number 15, and 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. All right. So, the death of Absalom. Vanity. He was a vain man. About his appearance. What's the word that would be used today? A pretty boy. Although I think that would be used more back in the 1980s or the 70s even. The word pretty boy. That is not someone who is interested in fighting their battles, but someone who's interested in just looking good. And that was Absalom. That was Absalom. Not a man of war, raised up in the palace while other people went and did the fighting. Here Absalom is, he's like a fish out of water. He's not prepared for this battle. He should have cut his hair. You know, a man who was used to the battle would have known short hair don't get hung up in the woods. But that was not on Absalom's mind because it wasn't time to cut his hair yet. Oh my. That was Absalom. The end of Absalom was vanity. The very thing that he was proudest of was the thing that was his undoing. And you know what? Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And the very thing that Absalom was proud of is what got him killed. And so thus ends Absalom. Now who's the people following? Who's the people going to follow? Absalom came into battle himself. He was leading the battle himself. And I have to wonder what the people thought as he's riding along there and all of a sudden he gets yanked off his mule. He's not even riding a horse. He's riding the king's mule to show who's boss. He's all about the show. He's showing off in battle, leading people in battle, show off. And now, here he is, he's dead. And he's dead, hung in a tree by the hair of his head, hung in a tree. Not a glorious end. Not something worthy of a soldier, worthy of a general, worthy of a king. You know, that's how the mighty have fallen. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. We have sayings. We have sayings that fit along with this. And, you know, for somebody who's a big show-off to get their comeuppance like this, there's part of most people's minds that's very satisfying to see the show off get shown down. You know, whether it be somebody with a big powerful car and they spin out and they spin around and wreck it, or they're racing and they wreck it, or something else happens and there's problems. People get way too much satisfaction out of that. We shouldn't. We should not, you know. The Bible says that the Lord does not delight in the death of the wicked. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to be right with God. He wants people to get right with God. It does not satisfy the Lord. But the Lord does, in many cases, cause the proud to fall. And this is no exception. Absalom is proud. His pride, the thing of his pride, the hair of his head, is his destruction. Now, Absalom was a very proud man. And so here we're going to see in the next few verses about that. Verse number 18. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. He said, I don't have a son to keep my name going, so I'm going to make this pillar. Now, he's still a young man. I think that's an excuse for him just to make a pillar. And he does it in the king's dale. Now, what is that? That's the very center of the king's property. It's the prime location in the king's area. And so Absalom sets him up a pillar. And there's an archaeological site known as Absalom's Pillar. There he is. And he's not buried there. He's buried in a pit on the other side of the Jordan in the wood of Ephraim. That's where he's buried. There's a great pit there. And that's where he gets buried. Those woods were treacherous at the time. Now, in the Middle Ages, those woods were deforested to a degree. There's some reforesting going on now, but it's not the thick woods that is talked about here in 2 Samuel. So thus ends the revolt of Absalom. But now, there's several tasks that have to be accomplished. And the first task is, who's going to tell David? Who's going to tell David? And here we have one of the strangest stories related to us in the Word of God. We'll get to it next week as the Lord leads. We're not going to try to even begin to scratch the surface. But child of God, your pride is one of the most dangerous things that you can have. You know, your tongue's the most dangerous. Mm-hmm. Unruly, evil, full of deadly poison, the Bible says. And your tongue is full of that type of poison. But most of the time, that tongue, what it's spewing out is the pride of the heart. Pride, a proud look, is one of the things that God hates. It's an abomination to the Lord. A proud look is. And we got to keep that in mind. Pride. And again, you'll see it all over the highways of the U.S. and other countries. You'll see pride all over the place. People showing off in their vehicles. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You can probably figure it out. You can probably figure out what I'm talking about. People who are proud of their vehicles. You say, well, shouldn't you have a little pride in things? Not in material things, no. Pride, vanity. And as Solomon later would say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says, what's the use? What's the purpose? Why do people go and spend so much money on something that's just going to rust and just going to decay and just in just a few short years, it'll be discarded for the next new thing? People are that way, though. People are full of themselves. And Absalom was the poster child for being full of yourself. Absalom was the poster child for people who were proud. Absalom was the poster child. And he would have fit right into this world today. The way I can just see Absalom riding along in a big raised up pickup truck, big diesel with stacks coming out of the hood, and you can see the twin turbos on top of the engine, and you can hear the whine of that turbo coming a mile away, and he would roll coal all the way down the highway. That would be Absalom. A lot of show. And when it really mattered, his hair, the very source of his pride, it failed him. It destroyed him in his vanity. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, email broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.